Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Praise God. What a great time to be worshiping the Lord today. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. You know, they work real hard on this stuff. They give their craft, and they just love to spend time preparing to lead you in worship. And I think they did a stellar job this morning, and I just felt such freedom in this place today to worship Jesus. It was wonderful. And we're great to have you here. I'm looking at a lot of smiling faces. You guys look great. Some of you got dragged here. It's Easter Sunday, you're going to church. No. Some of you came of your own volition. Some of you came joyfully bouncing. Some of you got your nice Easter bonnet out and put it on. Way to go, Deborah. I pastored in Montreal for many years with a church that was mostly from the West Indies. And so bonnets were everywhere on Easter Sunday. It was a big deal. It was a big deal. Love the mention to Easter eggs. How many of you do an Easter egg hunt with your kids? Do you do so when the kids were little and stuff, you do that? Yeah. We always put a few out. And in fact, we do it. They're going to do it today with the kids out in the back. They're going to have an Easter egg hunt out there. It's good they're out there because I keep finding Easter eggs from previous years in the prayer room over here. And I'd hate for them to get one of those chocolates because who knows how old that is. But hide and seek is kind of a funny thing. And Easter, the Resurrection Sunday, the story is a little bit of a hide and seek kind of story. Jesus was hidden in the cave, and then the disciples went looking for him. The women went looking for him, and they wanted to find him. And so there's a little bit of this hide and seek that plays out on this story. And when I played hide and seek, what was kind of cool was when the kids were little. It was always a lot of fun because when they're little and innocent, you know what? You know what's the funnest thing about playing hide and seek? Getting found. That's the funnest. So I remember when they would look at me and they'd say, Grandpa, I'm going to go hide in your shirts in the closet and then you come find me, okay? And I'd say, okay, you go hide. And I'd say, are you ready? And they go, ready. And then you'd come around the corner and before I could get to the shirts, they'd jump out and they'd go, I'm right here. And it was so much fun. And we could do that again and again and again. They would hide in the same spot five times over. And wasn't that fun? It was fun when the kids loved to get found, right? And that was kind of a neat, maybe it's innocence, because I think when you get older, then it becomes about not getting found. Now it's finding the best hiding place ever so that they'll never find you. So when we think hide and seek, we tend to think more about that more advanced, mature version where someone hides, and if they're really good, we'll never find them. And they come out as the reigning champions. No one ever found me. And somehow we get into this game, and we have to go looking for people. And then on the other side of it is how difficult it is for us to even see when we're looking for someone or looking for something. I mean, I know what it's like. You guys have lost your keys. You've been like me where you've looked all over the house for the keys only to find out they're in your hand. Don't you feel stupid when that happens? You know, or you're talking on the phone going, just a sec, let me try to find my phone. And you're talking, oh, I can't find it. It's over here. And you're talking on the phone the whole time trying to find your phone. And it hits you. What am I doing? It's in my hand. We get silly like that. I remember in the cabin, we would go as several families. I think there were at this time four families at this cabin. So it's a big cabin. It's a house. And all the young people were playing hide and seek. And the adults were playing a game at the kitchen table. And Hayden was hiding. And one of the other kids, I won't name who, was running around looking for the kids, found them all except Hayden. Hayden came and sat at the table with us. He was sitting at the table. And this kid walked up and said, "Hey, have you guys seen Hayden? I can't find him anywhere." And we're just sitting there going, "You got to be kidding me." And like, "No, I have no idea where he is." And he went, "Oh, he's just hiding, and I don't know where he is. I've looked everywhere." And this went on, and we're just going, "I can't believe this. He's sitting right there." And the person left and went on and kept looking for him. And I just thought, unbelievable. This hide-and-seek thing between wanting to be found, between getting good at hiding, between not being able to see anything. It is amazing. And yet here in this story of Jesus, we're going to look at the story of his appearance. One of the things that's interesting is how hard it was to discover Jesus, how hard it was for them to find Jesus, even though he wasn't even trying to hide. Maybe he was. I don't know. It was difficult for them to find him. Let's look at one story, John chapter 20, and I'll read a few verses. It says, "Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. And they asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they've put him.' And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus." He's right there. How does Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, how does she not know this is Jesus? "And he asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher, teacher." Something flashed, something changed as she discovers Jesus. Today, I want to tell you that we are looking for Jesus, but Jesus is not so much found by us as he is revealed to us. Let me say that again. Jesus is not so much found by us as he is revealed to us. That's the story that I want to unpack today. The story of not finding Jesus, but the story of Jesus being revealed to us. So we're going to look at three appearances. The first was this one from John chapter 20, where Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. The other story is from Luke 24. The other two stories are from Luke 24. In Luke 24, we start with two men on the road to Emmaus. They're leaving town. They're leaving Jerusalem. They're on a walk, and it says that they took a walk, and Jesus appeared to them, and again, they didn't recognize him, and he revealed himself to them. And then the third story is from Luke 24, is the story of when the two from the road to Emmaus came back and walked into the room, and they said, "We saw him too." And all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the middle of the room. Just like, boom, he appears in the middle of the room. And they can't believe it. They're astounded. It's too good to be true. And they, again, couldn't recognize him for who he was, but he revealed himself to them. I think the key in all three of these stories is that Jesus is hidden from them. He's hidden from them. So the two on the road to Emmaus, for some reason, they don't recognize him. Now, they know Jesus. They're disciples. They're followers. They were there. They were there through the miracles that he did. And for some reason, they don't recognize him. And it says they walk on the journey, and he asks them this great question. He says, "Did you not know these things were about to happen?" They still didn't get it. It wasn't until he broke bread that they suddenly clued in. It was like Jesus flipped a switch and they realized this is Jesus. He was hidden from them. And then, of course, there's a story when he goes back and how they can't recognize Jesus. They think he's a ghost, and so they were astounded. They're afraid, but they get excited when they realize this is Jesus because he reveals himself to them. And when he reveals himself to them, all of a sudden the joy comes alive in their heart and they realize, oh, Just like Mary goes, teacher. And the two go, Jesus. And then he disappears. And then in the upper room, they go, Jesus, it's you. It's too good to be true. Each one of these stories is supernatural. Each one of these stories is supernatural. I mean, it's almost like magic because he walks through a wall and appears in a room. He disappears from the sight of the two that were walking with him. The moment he breaks bread and they realize who he is, he reveals himself to them, and then boom, he disappears. Mary Magdalene, he appears as a gardener. Why did she think he was a gardener? I don't know, but Jesus somehow has this ability to disguise himself. It's supernatural. And I just think that any encounter with Jesus is supernatural. It's something out of this world. The other thing is these appearances were transformative. Every time someone encountered the risen Lord, it was transformative. They were changed. They went from being scared to being astounded. They went from being afraid to being encouraged. It changed their life. They went from running away to running back. When you meet Jesus, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. How many of you could you testify that you met Jesus and he's changed your life? Yeah. Jesus transforms us. They don't see Jesus. Jesus is not found by us. He is revealed to us. So how can we find Jesus? I'm a little concerned that in our world today, we want to find Jesus, but he's hidden from us still. We want to find Jesus, but it's still hard to discover the risen Lord. And when you think, well, it was hard in their day, but the real Jesus showed up, and now he's gone up to heaven. How are we going to find him? But the Bible says that Jesus still is revealing himself to people. He's still revealing himself to us. And so we can still find Jesus. He can still appear to us by the work of his Spirit. But how are we going to do that? How are the disciples going to do that? Well, I noted a few things in these stories, and I'll just walk through a couple of them quickly. I think to find Jesus, we have to see beyond our grief and loss. To find Jesus, we got to see beyond our grief and loss. So that first story of Mary of Magdalene, one of the first to encounter Jesus, she's so full of grief and loss. That's all that's consuming her. Where have you taken him? He's been taken. She wants to embalm him. The girls came early in the morning with spices and things so they could do a proper burial for Jesus. They're hurting. They're wanting to do something as a tribute to him. And now he's been stolen from them. They have lost something great. When we go into that stage of grief and loss, it becomes difficult for us to see Jesus. What is grief? Well, we know it's got stages, right? Denial. I'm not really experiencing loss. This hasn't happened. This is surreal. This couldn't be happening. Anger. How dare you? How could you do this to me? How could you leave me like that? God, how could you do that? The anger just comes out as part of our stages of grief. And there's bargaining when we start. You know, talking, and guys, this is not just in the stages of grief when it comes to losing a loved one, but when we think about a relationship with God, how many times do we find ourselves bargaining with God? If only. If you did this, then I will do this. If this happens, I will do that. We start negotiating with God for what we will want. Lord, I'll serve you if. And of course, depression, when we just don't care. Just don't care. Maybe he's real, but I just don't care. I think in each case, we struggle to see Christ, for we're locked in a selfish fight for survival. I say selfish because it is selfish. It's very internal. It's very much about me, what I'm going through. And guys, none of us would blame someone. If you lost someone dear to you, you lost somebody close to you, it's going to hurt. And you're going to walk through that journey, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be very selfish, and we're not going to blame you. We're not going to come and say, how could you be so selfish? We're not going to say that, because we know you're hurting. We know that you're walking through this. You've got to walk through that journey. But at some point, you walk through that journey, you begin to look outside of yourself, and you begin to look beyond and see. You have to get past that grief. We get into that final stage of acceptance. Acceptance. Now we can rise beyond the grief and begin to see again as it is. But we get locked into our selfishness. We got to let go and move into that stage of acceptance. When we get to the stage of acceptance, we find ourselves very broken. We find ourselves very raw. And we finally, in grief, are able to accept the fact that I'm hurting. Because that's what grief is. It's protection. It's a protection so that it doesn't hit you all at once. It allows you to be able to get to that place in a slower method so that you don't crumble. But in the end, you come to a place where you're broken and you accept the fact that this hurts. Sometimes the best thing to say to somebody when you're walking through that grief is, boy, this really sucks. It's just accepting the fact how broken it is. But I love the Bible. In Psalm 51:17, it says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart you, God, will never despise." At that moment, in that moment, is where we find Jesus. That's where Jesus reveals himself to us, and suddenly we're able to receive that revelation. We're finally able to see God because we're finally broken. We're finally accepting our brokenness. I love the story that Leif shared just 2 weeks ago in his baptism. If you haven't seen it yet, it's on our YouTube channel. You can watch Jeff and Leif's testimonies there. But Leif was sharing how he was so hurt, and he'd gone through so much struggles in his family life and in his life, but he recognized, I thought it was quite amazing that he recognized that his anger and everything was very selfish, as if the world owes me. And I thought it was quite the revelation at that point to come to that place where you can be broken enough to accept the fact that you're hurting and it isn't right. But instead of lashing out and blaming and expecting the world to do everything for you, you stop and say, "God, I'm sorry because I'm acting like it's somehow I deserve all this." And it was a great confession of what I think is happening here. A broken and a contrite heart, God will no wise cast out. At that moment, there is a relationship with Christ that begins and is powerful. It's supernatural, it's transforming, and it's beautiful. The second thing is, to find Christ, we need to see beyond our own ignorance. We got to see beyond our own ignorance. Now, this is the second story, and it's the story in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, and there's these two guys on a road to Emmaus. And as they're walking, Jesus confronts them. He asks them, and Jesus is playing coy. Like, again, he's quite hidden, right? He says, "What are you discussing? What are you talking about, guys?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? Are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on?" Again, just think about it. That's a testimony to how big a deal it was in Jerusalem, in the whole city, this crucifixion of Jesus and all that transpired, that everybody knew about it to the point where Cleopas can go, "Are you kidding me? You haven't heard about this? Where are you from?" You know, clearly a tourist or something, because he doesn't even know what's going on. "And what things?" And so they told him about Jesus and how he was a prophet. But in that description, they're talking about how they don't understand what's going on. "We don't know. It didn't go the way we thought it would. We thought he was a prophet. We thought he was sent from God, but he died." And someone even said they think he rose again, but we don't believe it. It's just too crazy. And he said to them, verse 25, it says, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe." Now, remind him, this is a stranger. This is a guy walking on the road with them who they don't even know the guy. And he says, "How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not," and there's the question, "did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Is this not the way it was supposed to play out according to the scriptures?" And he's caught them off guard because now they're the ignorant ones. Now they go, "Well, I don't understand." And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. So at this point now, Jesus walks them through the scriptures. Because of their ignorance, they can't see Christ. But he unfolds the scriptures for them. He illuminates them. He inspires them to see the story as it was meant to be seen. That's right there in front of them. And he says that you can't even see it. It just reminds me of that story of the kid at our table with Hayden sitting right there going, I can't find hate. Are you kidding me? He's right here. And I think Jesus must have this feeling. Are you kidding me? Did you not read Isaiah 53? Did you not read Moses being lifted up in the desert and they would look upon him and they would be healed? Did you not read that story? And on and on he goes. Did you not see these scriptures? Did this not make sense to you? And he walks them through it all. And then at the end, they're going to stop, and it says he was going to look. Jesus was kind of making like, well, I got to keep going here. And they're like, no, stop, have dinner with us. Stop at our house, hang out with us a little longer. And he's okay. So he comes in, he sits down, they pull out the bread, and he breaks the bread. And the moment he breaks it, whether it be that, I think it's supernatural. I just don't think there's any way these guys who know Jesus are not seeing him, except that when he broke the bread, he let the scales fall off their eyes so they could see who he really was. And it was a moment where I'm sure they remember when he took the loaves and the fishes and he broke the bread and he fed the multitude, right? They struggled to understand that. Did you not understand what I meant by the bread? Did you not understand this? He'd said to them before. And now here he breaks the bread and he passes on. Their eyes come off. This is Jesus breaking the bread. Why he's even breaking the bread, I don't know. He wasn't even the host. He was a guest at the table. But I guess that's part of what Jesus was doing to reveal himself, was let me take charge here, guys, and I'll break the bread. And suddenly their eyes are open and they see. Somehow our ignorance gets in the way of our finding Christ. And I want to encourage you, as you bear witness to Christ, don't think that a rational argument is going to help someone find Christ. As if somehow we could provide an argument rational enough that they would have to accept Christ. They would have to receive Christ. Christ is not found by us. He's revealed to us. We can share the scriptures, but the key is not the rational argument. The key is the prayer. The key is the prayer that God would open their eyes. The key is inviting the Holy Spirit in. The rational arguments are for us as believers. We as believers can look at the scriptures and begin to rationally understand how it all makes sense. Once you've accepted Christ, everything falls into line and you just go, wow, I can't believe I didn't see how much sense this made. The rational arguments are not there to help us find Christ. They're to help us grow in Christ, to be strong in Christ. But finding Christ is a revelation. He's revealed to us. Christ opened the scriptures to them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us? When we see Christ, here's where we find Christ. Is something here that is burning in our hearts that we have to grapple with? And I encourage you, if you have not maybe fully appreciated a relationship with Jesus Christ, the way you see it in church, the way maybe you're hearing about us talk about it, but if there is something burning in your heart, that's Jesus. He's revealing himself to you. He's helping you to begin to understand something that's been difficult to understand. Their hearts burn within them. We can't read scriptures or understand them until we plead our ignorance. I think the key to good growth is to plead ignorance, is to put ourselves in the place of humility. That, who am I? I always loved one guy I studied martial arts with. He said in where he learned it in Tibet, they have a black belt. But after a number of years of a black belt, it goes back to a white belt. For the master must always be the learner. And I think there's that secret of us to always put ourselves in the place of ignorance. The more we think we know what's going on, the harder it is to see Christ in the middle of it. And so the key to discovering Christ and having him revealed to us is by admitting our ignorance. And the last thing I just wanted to share was to find Christ, we have to see beyond our human limitations. To find Christ, we have to see beyond our human limitations. Jesus appears to the whole group. So these guys, these two, Cleopas and his friend, they discover Christ, he unveils himself to them, and then it says in Luke 24, it says, they got so excited, we got to go tell the others. They just walked all the way to Emmaus from Jerusalem, they've had their meal in the evening, it's now getting late, they don't care, we're running back. And they huff it all the way back to Jerusalem, find the disciples in the upper room. use the secret knock, 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 knockety, knock, 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 knock. You know, what's the secret question? Two-factor authentication. They open the door, in they come. Okay, it's a secret room. They're hiding out. They don't want to get arrested. They don't want to get killed. They're hiding out. So here they are now, secure in the room, and these two guys tell the story of how Jesus appeared to them. And again, okay, first Mary, now it's these two. What is going on here? And then suddenly, Jesus appears. No knocking, no secret handshakes, no secret passwords to get in. He just appears behind a locked door. Miraculously, what I say, I said the encounters with Jesus are supernatural. All the reasons you think you make a nice tidy package to bring Christ to someone or for you to receive Christ, I think it'll be like this, this, and that. Forget it. It's a supernatural experience. It's going to happen. Christ is going to appear to you, and he's going to show up. He's going to pursue you. He's going to find a way to make himself known to you. But here's what you want to speed it along a little bit. Admit your human finite. Admit your limitations. They couldn't quite see it because they're so wrapped up in this earthly, fleshly living in existence that they only see what's around them. Jesus appears and they go, it's a ghost. It's not Jesus, it's a ghost. Can't be real. It's some apparition. It's something that's there. And they misunderstand. They don't see it. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, you can't please God. You can't see God. He rewards those who earnestly seek him with faith. And so in this context, we have a lack of faith. Because we're wrapped up in our human, finite, limited understandings. The expression that I think fits best with their response is, it's too good to be true. Jesus says, it's me. I'm not a ghost. It's me. And they are amazed and full of joy. It's astounding to them that this is happening. It's too good to be true. I can't believe this. This really is Jesus. For some strange reason, we just don't want to accept our limits. We don't want to ask for help. We don't want to admit that we can't do this. This is our culture. This is our, not just Canadian culture, this is our world, our humanity. We fight to try to prove that we don't need anything. We don't need help. We can do this ourselves. It starts really young. But it grows into ourselves till we have this fighting spirit that doesn't want to receive. It's, no, I got this. But that very same stubbornness is what blocks us from receiving Christ when he reveals himself to us because we can't see beyond our abilities. But we have to accept the fact that we are human and there is too much beyond us to comprehend, too much to help us. There was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And he thought that his best way to accomplish salvation and religion was to obey all the commandments. And he thought, I got this. And he obeyed them. And then he meets Jesus. He's a mighty prophet. He's a mighty in deed and word. And he's amazing. And so he needs affirmation. Jesus, what's the way to salvation? Jesus said, obey all the commandments. He goes, oh, good. That's what I've done. And Jesus says, go sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the man went away sad. And Jesus said, it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And the disciples are like, well, I guess nobody can get saved then. How is anyone? Because if a rich man who has all these resources and is prosperous, who supposedly has made it, he's got God's blessing and he's attained this level. If he has been able to do, and we find out that he can't find salvation, what hope is there for us mere poor peasants? Jesus said, well, with man it is impossible. Because we haven't grasped this idea that all the money in the world can't buy you salvation. All the money in the world can't buy you love. Didn't someone write a song about that? I don't remember which one it is, but some of you are humming it right now. Okay. Is it the Beatles? Okay, there you go. It's a, we come up with this, but yet we don't want to live that way. We write a song about it, but we won't live that way. But the realities are when you don't admit that you are limited, then you struggle to find Christ. I think this whole thing with evolution, with all the things that you see in our world, evolution, medical knowledge will fix everything. You know, we'll heal everybody. We'll find a way to conquer disease. We'll surgeries can solve everything. Just look around in the culture at the solutions being offered, that we don't need God, we just need this. It's the fight for us to bring everything within the realm of our human abilities. But Christ says, until you're willing to let go of that, you won't find me. You won't find me. Until you can let go and come with humility and have some faith that I'm here, you're not going to see me. Christ is hidden until we let that go. So if we want to find Christ, I'm telling you, he wants to be found. Your revelation of the risen Christ is every bit as supernatural and transformative and joyful as these three that we talked about, these three experiences. And despite his ascension, Jesus sent his Spirit into this world. John chapter 14, John chapter 16 talks about the Spirit I'm sending, Jesus said, and he will make known everything about me, because he's going to take me and he's going to make him known to you. So in other words, you and I can still have an experience of the risen Lord today, just like they did. It's possible because the Holy Spirit says, I'll make that real. I'll make that real to you. You can experience the risen Lord today in your life. He's still making that happen, and millions of people around the world are experiencing it. That's his purpose, to make him known. And here's more good news. Jesus wants to reveal himself to everyone. Peter said in his letter that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but wants everyone to come to eternal life. Everyone. So Jesus wants to be found by you. I love it because Jesus is like a child. Remember, go back to the first story. The more mature person doesn't want to be found because he wants to show how good at hiding he is. Jesus is like the little child who's saying, hey, I'm going to go hide here. Come find me. He makes it real simple that we can find him. In Romans chapter 8, the scripture says, Paul said, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And Paul goes on to say it is the Spirit of Christ that will quicken your mortal bodies, make them new, make them alive. My prayer this morning is that you would know the risen Lord. I know him. I'll put my story down with these others, and I will tell you, I have met the risen Jesus. As clear as I can tell you I have grandkids, as clear as I can tell you that that's Erwin right there, I can tell you that Jesus has met me, and he's revealed himself to me, and I know Jesus, right? I believe in Jesus, but it's not just I believe in Jesus, it's I know Jesus. Right? I know Jesus. I believe in what he's doing, but I know him. He's my friend. And I've had that experience. Every time I pray, every time I walk down the street, every time I gather here and worship the Lord, the risen Christ is right there with me. And my prayer is that every single one of us would have that experience with the risen Lord. I don't know what might be standing in your way. I just want to encourage you today. He is right there. The Bible even says he's near you. He's as close as the mention of his name. Don't hide from Jesus. He wants to be found. And I just encourage you, there's nothing greater that will transform your life supernaturally than knowing the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite the team to come back, and we'll close with a song. And I'm just going to pray that we would know him in our hearts. So bow with me. Heavenly Father, thank you. thank you that you are the risen Lord. I thank you for the testimony of these people who saw you firsthand and wrote it down and gave up their lives, many of them martyred, because they know this is true. You are alive. And I thank you, Lord God, for the spirit that you sent into this world that has made you alive in my heart, made you a part of my life. And I pray right now that every single person in this room would know you. And if there's any issues, anything that's stopping it, Lord, whether it be that grief or that hurt or that loss or the unmet expectations, whether it be just that struggle to understand or it be that struggle to let go and believe, I pray that, God, you would make those things just seem small right now. And may we be able to all lean into you today. I pray that, Lord, that we would all know the joy of life with you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.